powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
If you were a NFL expert, a Seahawks expert, and someone who knew nothing said, hey, bro, lady, guy, how did the Seahawks guarantee a win this weekend? I know the odds are stacked against them. I know they're going against a team that's 8-2, number 5 overall defense, top 10 offense. They may or may not have Kyler Murray. Like, how did the Seahawks get a win? And if your answer would be, well, they get a win if blank, what's the answer to that? I want you to call in 206-421-3776. You are the expert. We're giving you a mic. I want to know what your key to a Seahawks win is. They need it. They need it. If you want to get to the postseason, and I know those odds seem long, but they're still there. If you want to get there, you need this win. So what has to happen? What has to happen on Sunday? Again, that number is 206-421-3776. Going to Justin in Yelm. Justin, Seahawks win if what?
Seahawks win if we win the time of possession battle. That means we're sustaining drives. It means the defense is not gassed at the end of the game. We had a one-score game going into the fourth quarter on the road against a great team, and that's why we lost.
Justin, what is your confidence level that they can actually win the time of possession?
Well, not super high, to be honest.
Justin,
I think having Chris Carson moving sticks would help. I was encouraged by Collins at the beginning of the season, but haven't seen a lot lately. It'd be nice to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it was a great call, Justin, and it's a great point. I mean, time of possession has really been the enemy of the Seattle Seahawks.
Worst in the league there.
It really has been a huge flaw in their game. And, you know, as Justin pointed out, it's a lack of being able to sustain drives. And so offensively, when you talk about that time of possession, the only way to counterbalance time of possession is if you are being so explosive offensively that you're still putting up points despite losing the time of possession. That's the only way where it can balance itself out. And you could say, look, time of possession, crumple that up, throw it away. It's really not that big of a deal. But it is a big deal when you get into close games. There is the difference. When you get into close games, if you don't have an offense that is consistently putting up points on the board, then time of possession matters. And that is exactly where they're at right now. And that is a great example of Green Bay last week of why time of possession matters. Even in close games, even when it's 3-0 for the majority of the game, if you can have a good balance of time of possession and keep that in your favor, typically good things are going to happen eventually in that game. And so, Justin, I fully agree with you right there. Good call.
It kind of becomes like a snake eating its own tail. The fewer shots you get at making plays, the less in rhythm you are, the more
Absolutely.
You go out there and you haven't executed. Guys aren't necessarily feeling fully confident. I mean, you can be as confident as you want heading into a game, but you can certainly see throughout the course of a game an offense will heat up or maybe a defense heats up. Like, you kind of get into a rhythm of it, no matter how much of a veteran player you are. And maybe some players don't need that, but I think this offense does. When you've seen them control time of possession, whether it was, you know, last year or, you know, the first game they were good offensively. I don't remember if they really dominated time of possession, but they're last in the league in just having just the number of plays they are able to run, which means not only are they not converting third downs, they're going 3 and out. And you can't, that's not winning football. All right, going to Gene in Spokane. Gene, Seahawks win Sunday if what?
If they protect Russell Wilson. The whole thing about this team is if you protect Russell Wilson, give him the confidence that he can throw the ball and do what he needs to do, everything else will fall in place.
Now, Gene, when it comes to that idea, where are you in that conversation? Does that mean protect Russell Wilson and just pure pass protection in general? Does that mean protect Russell Wilson by running the football? Where exactly do you mean by protecting Russell Wilson?
The offensive line. Because if the offensive line protects him and does what they are supposed to do, the running game, the passing game, everything should fall into place.
Gene, I definitely agree with you on that. They'll be tested with Chandler Jones. They'll be tested with Vance Joseph and their blitzing schemes and what they like to do and how they try to manufacture pressure and really try to confuse the quarterback with a bunch of different looks. But absolutely, protection is going to be a big key to that. But I would say to you, Gene, that the run game is going to be a big part of that. The run game does allow you to protect Russell Wilson better in this situation. The run game will also allow the offensive line to play better if you're not allowing Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, to be able to just simply pin his ears back and rush the quarterback. Marcus Golden as well, another good pass rusher who has been playing well over the past two seasons. So that is a big factor in that, in terms of not just pass protection, but protecting Russell Wilson, setting him up for success so that he can play to the level that, Gene, you and I know he can. I absolutely agree with that. And that's going to be a huge, huge factor in this game. And Stacey, I know we point to Russell Wilson struggling in that game last week against Green Bay, but you also can't overlook, and I'm not saying it's the reason why he had a bad game, not even close, but the offensive line really struggled in pass protection in that game as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's got to be better there. Again, that number to call, your key to a Seahawks win. Seahawks have to do this to win and beat the Arizona Cardinals. That number is 206-421-3776. I have the final injury report. No players declared out for the Seahawks. Now, that doesn't mean they're totally healthy, but it's good news because you had five players who were non-participants in practice on Thursday, including Carlos Dunlap. That's going to be a big one, Gerald Everett. But no, both of those guys not on the list, also not on the injury report at all. Dwayne Brown, so he's good to go. Same with DK Metcalf, who was a full participant but still on the injury list. So DK Metcalf, Dwayne Brown, Gerald Everett, all these guys good to go. But you do have five players who are questionable. All right, here's the list. Safety Jamal Adams, questionable with a groin injury. Tackle Jamarco Jones. Defensive end Kerry Hyder Jr. is questionable. Linebacker Cody Barton and cornerback DJ Reed. Don't love seeing two members of your secondary on there with Jamal Adams and DJ Reed questionable for this game. Final injury report, that's the final injury report. The list of inactives comes out 90 minutes before kickoff.
That is huge. And when you talk about, these injury reports being able to have Dwayne Brown critical, looking at Alex Collins and Gerald Everett as well, guys who did not practice yesterday, suiting up and will be ready to go with no issues, not even on the injury report list, is very positive. But out of all those players that are questionable, I would anticipate that they're all going to play. I mean, Stacey, this is, like I said at the top of the show, this is a must-win game for the Seahawks. I know mathematically they will not be out of it, but if they lose this game, they are out of the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, they are not going to make the playoffs if they lose this game. This is everything is on the line this Sunday.
16% odds to make the postseason right now. That drops to less than 10%. It drops to 6% if they lose against the Cardinals. Going to Andy in Warm Beach, Washington. Andy, I not only want to know, what the Seahawks need to do this weekend to win, I also want to know, where's Warm Beach?
Hey, so Warm Beach is in Stanwood. It's on the west side looking across the bay at Camino Island.
Got it. Is it warm?
Not recently, but today is beautiful, nice and sunny blue. So the Seahawks win if Russell Wilson's hand heals a little bit more.
Okay.
And Russ doesn't try too hard, right? We've all had experiences where we just tried too hard in some area of our life, and it just doesn't turn out. Like, I'm a huge Russ fan. I always have been. I always will be. I hope he retires a Seahawk. I hope he goes into the Hall of Fame as Seahawk. I love the guy. Got to the game early a couple weeks ago. He signed some posters I made with his cast on. He signed a rookie card I brought. He was chatting with us. It was awesome. I love this guy. But ESPN Stats and Information said he had 10 off-target completions, so even his completions weren't quite right. He had 8 overthrows. We love the guy, but this week we got to get a win. He needs to not try too hard. Take your check downs. Find the easier guy. Drop the ball off a little bit. I love him. I hope he does well. I'm proud of the defense for turning things around, but Russ, just don't try too hard. We know you're the man. We love you. We're behind you.
All right. My guy, Andy, pointing out that one of the common denominators, too, I mean, he was implying this, but I'm taking his point and running with it. I feel like that's one of the common denominators with some of Russell Wilson's losses, is it always feels like a decision-making thing that was trying to do something that didn't make sense at the time. And usually it's been trying to go for like a deep ball. Maybe he's trying to like play a little bit of hero ball in the moment. Like, it feels like all of the worst moments I can think of his career has been moments like that deep pass to Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, when you're talking, Andy just mentioning, you know, taking basically the message, take what's given and allow the game to come to you. And I think that that's what Russell Wilson has done so well over the course of his career, and it's led to, honestly, people being frustrated about sacks that he has taken over the years or things of that nature. And it's just part of, hey, I am going to play with the idea that, hey, I'm going to keep my team in the best position possible. And if it means I need to take a sack because that's all that's given to me right now, that's what I will do. And allowing the game to come to him and being able to pick the right times and the right places to be aggressive, to turn it on, to be able to tuck the football and start to run, to, you know, take your shots downfield. All of those things need to be at the right time and the right place and not forced. And I would say that I want Russell Wilson to go into this game with an attack mentality, but absolutely, Andy, I agree with you. Take what's given. Yeah, take advantage of the opportunities underneath when they are presented. And when you do that, it allows your offense to stay on schedule. It allows you as well to open up more opportunities you know, later on in the game as well. So I think that's something to definitely keep an eye on.
A really quick question from a listener before I jump to the next caller. The 509 says, is Chris Carson playing? Either I missed it or didn't hear his name on the injury report. A really good question. You did not hear Chris Carson's name. However, as a reminder, Chris Carson is not on the active roster right now. He was designated for a return to practice from IR, but has not been activated. So any player that isn't activated, you won't see his name on the injury report. I personally am not anticipating that he'll play. But again, I'm sure John Schneider will be asked that in his pregame interview, which will be on the Seahawks pregame show. That went about an hour before kickoff. So stay tuned for that. Heading back to the phone lines here, Patrick in Tacoma. Patrick, Seahawks win Sunday if what?
Hey guys, 5'8", 175. Seahawks win that one if Russell pays attention to the wide open receivers underneath, tight ends, running backs. Seemed like all he was trying to do in this last game against Green Bay was go for the big bomb, and clearly that didn't work out. And everybody seems to be pointing at the O-line. Russ had tons of time, in my eyes, to complete passes underneath, and we've been talking about it. Wyman and Dave have been talking about it. Like, why aren't they going to those receivers underneath? So that's my take. Guys, have a great day.
Yeah, you have a great day as well. Thanks, Patrick. I do believe that that is a factor in this game, but the idea that there are guys wide open everywhere on every single play and Russ is just missing them.
I don't think he's saying on every play. I think he's saying there were some moments like on that throw to Tyler Lockett
correct.
Where someone else was open.
But that's also not what he said. And I think that that idea that it is happening all the time is not accurate, but it's not happening at the right time. And that is the key difference to me.
What do you mean? That the players underneath aren't open at the right time?
No. What I'm saying is that there are critical plays that are happening in a given game, and particularly that Green Bay game, where I look at a four plays in particular, four plays that make the difference in that game. And you know, three of those plays are settled if you take what's given underneath, right? Outside of that, there wasn't really a whole lot to work with, but it doesn't in this game. It's not about, you know, the multiple opportunities. Very rarely do you see guys just miss everybody across the field. It is the 3 to 4 opportunities that you have in a game that can really make an impact in whatever game you play. You go back in a lot of games that are won and lost, and it really comes down to maybe 5 or less plays that make the difference in the game. And so those plays that Russell Wilson has those opportunities to hit those checkdowns, or that the defense presents that opportunity for him, he absolutely has to take advantage of that. But the other thing is, I just think overall, for him to be in the rhythm of the game, for him to, you know, shake the cobwebs off of being out, you know, a month and shaking the cobwebs off of, you know, being in the rhythm and understanding, you know, the flow and the speed of the game. I really, truly hope that that will be a big difference for him as you're going into his second game back from an injury. And I hope that that is a big difference from what we saw a week ago.
We talked about that article in The Ringer by Steven Ruiz talking about the middle of the field just being kind of a spot where Russell Wilson not only doesn't seek a lot of opportunities there, but also isn't especially great in those limited opportunities there. Is that something where he just happens to be better throwing down the sidelines or throwing a deep ball? Or is it something where I can guarantee you, I'm not looking at the Mac and Jack's text line right now, but I know, Jake, that someone is saying, well, Russell Wilson can't see the middle of the field.
Well, it's not a matter of whether he can see the middle of the field. I would say that is it a comfort for him? No. Is it his style of play? No. I would say that he is, yeah, he's one of the best deep ball throwers to ever play this game, to ever play the position. And he is a outside edge guy. He dominates in his world. It is, you know, from the hashes to the sideline, Russell Wilson makes his hay in that area of the field. It's not that he can, it's not that he won't, but when you're talking about tight window throws, when you're talking about if it's hairy, right? More often than not, Russell Wilson is going to hold on to the football rather than force the ball in.
Can I ask a dumb question?
No dumb questions.
Is why do some quarterbacks do that? And is that the case for lots of quarterbacks where it's like they just prefer in between the hashes, they prefer sidelines? Like,
yeah,
why would a quarterback?
I think it all comes down to skill set and strengths. Okay. I really do. Some are better at throwing it over the middle. I mean, I think the most drastic example of the differences between somebody like Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo, for example. Jimmy Garoppolo, if you did his heat chart, if Steven Ruiz did his heat chart, it would be all literally in between the hashes. And it would be very rarely down the field, you know, hash to sidelines. Why? Because he doesn't have the arm strength. Why? He's not very accurate when it comes to those scenarios. So what's easier, what's an easier completion to him is in the middle of the field, you know, in that 5 to 10 yard range. And that's where Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, makes his hay, or that's where he's most successful when he's completing those passes. So it's not necessarily, you know, if they don't do this or they're not great at that, it doesn't make them a good player. It's just you've got to highlight the strengths and you've got to go to what they do best. And how can you utilize that to the best of your
ability? All right, I want to try to get through the rest of these callers. Going to Jason and Everett. Jason, Seahawks win Sunday if.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, I think as long as in this game, because I am pretty confident Hopkins and Murray will not be playing, but I think as long as we do not play behind the chains and have penalties, where the Seahawks have an offense where if they get behind the chains, we're in big trouble. So if we stay ahead of the chains and limit those penalties, Seahawks will win the game 24-17.
That is bold.
Score prediction. I like it.
For an offense is putting up 28, by the way.
What's that?
I said Arizona Cardinals offense putting up 28 points per game. You feel pretty confident they'll get less than 21?
Yeah, I think our defense has really stepped up. So as long as our offense can stay on the field longer and we can win the time of possession battle, I think they won't get to their 28 points.
All right.
Now,
I like that.
Now, something that Jason highlighted here that I think is important is when you talk about the Seahawks, what they can't have is they can't have drive killers. They can't have drive killers in terms of negative plays offensively. They can't have drive killers in terms of penalties. And that is something that has plagued this team throughout the season, I believe, and something that if they can stay away from, they'll put themselves in a better position. Also, look at the New Orleans Saints game. Defensively, they played a really good game. But when push came to shove, at the end, when they needed it the most, they continued to keep making dumb penalties that allowed Jameis Winston and that anemic Saints offense to drive down the field and kick that field goal to win the game. So, Jason, if you're going to be in a close game, you're going to be in a close battle, absolutely. Penalties are going to have a big impact, and negative plays in general will have that big impact.
Going to Charles in Tacoma. Charles, Seahawks win Sunday. If what?
First off, I want to say, Stacey, I always appreciate when there's a female personality on covering any kind of professional sport or sport in general.
Thanks, man.
It's always just nice to have a female perspective and voice. And then second of all, basically, I mean, the gist of it is that the offensive line and the defensive line, I mean, the offensive line is the main gist of what I'm going to say, but the offensive defensive line, they win and lose a game for you regardless of however anybody else plays. I mean, really, because the offensive line and the defensive line, they both protect all the personnel that's on the field beside them. But basically the gist is, I mean, the defense is playing well, and, I mean, Russ, his timing was off a little bit. Everybody always brings up his finger. I mean, I've broken like 8 fingers, had surgery on all of them. I mean, but
I mean, how'd you break 8 fingers?
Playing football growing up and sports. Okay. I mean, just, you know, but it just happens. I mean, anybody that's ever hurt a finger, yeah, it's going to bother you for a little bit. But I mean, Russell Wilson has, he's in the best care you could ever imagine. But, but on the field, the offensive line, their struggles. I mean, you can be physical as an offensive lineman, making pass protection as well as you can in run game. And I mean, Jake can, you know, he can assess that too, just because it's, you have to set the tone. And if you're not setting the tone with your front five or your front four, I mean, just or front three, depending on the defensive scheme, but the offensive line and the defensive line, they set the tone for the game and the rhythm for the game. And I mean, their offensive line, if they can't give Russ the time he needs, which I mean, damn near every snap, you know, against the Packers, he was on the run, which, I mean, he's great on the run, but you don't want him to be on the run almost every play, especially when he's coming back from a finger injury and his timing with the offense is not really there. So, I mean, you have to have an assessment of the offensive line. They've dealt with some jumbles up, some injuries, some things have gone on. I mean, it's a hard position to play, but you have to be physical. I mean, regardless of your pass blocking or run blocking, you have to be physical. And the physicality on the offensive line just hasn't quite been there. And, I mean, if you want to have time of possession, if you want to do anything on offense, if you want to, you know, run the clock down at the end of the game, I mean, you have to be able to have a stout offensive line in front of you. And we just haven't had the continuity between the guys up front to really, you know, show any of the offense. I mean, we have incredible playmakers, and you can have all the playmakers you want, but if you don't have time to get it to them or, you know, a lane to run through, I mean, Collins, he's been doing a great job. I mean, really, in reserve, he's been doing a great job. Yeah. He doesn't get respected enough. And, you know, it's Chris Carson, if he comes back or not, I mean, regardless, if the offensive line plays well, you can put any running back in there. I mean, even Homer, he's had some bursts where he looks pretty good. You know, but DJ
Charles, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, when you look at this situation, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. When it comes to the offensive line, it has not played out as well as you were hoping to when you started out the season. I think it's a great call, Charles. Thank you for calling in. And I think that when you're talking about that aspect of it, when it comes to Russell Wilson, when it comes to this offense and being able to ease him back into it, the run game is going to be a big factor in that. And that's why I believe that Pete Carroll points to that, not only because it was a close game against Green Bay. And if you're going to be in close games, time of possession, ball control matters. But it also takes pressure off of Russell Wilson. And, you know, Gene earlier talking about protecting Russell Wilson better. You protect Russell Wilson, yes, in pass protection and all those things, but you can protect him as well through the running game to help him ease back and transition and getting up to game speed, getting him back into the rhythm and the flow of the game. And when you see that happen, you'll see this offense come back to life. You'll see it spark, and that's what we're all hoping happens this Sunday so that you can finish on a hot streak the rest of the way.
All right, you guys, thanks. Appreciate the call so much. Shout out to Richard and Linwood. I'm so sorry. I saw you on here. We're up against the clock. But thank you. Shout out to you for calling in, man. I appreciate it. All right. Coming up next, it is the weekly game show, the most highly anticipated segment, probably in, I want to say, all of sports radio. I don't know. It's got to be top five. Cardinals coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Cardinals.
There it is. Wow, that's a loud one. It's still going. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Kings Heating and Air, and it is our weekly trivia matchup between Jake and Curtis to see who knows more about the Arizona Cardinals as we get you guys ready for the Seahawks upcoming game this Sunday. Kickoff at 1:25, by the way. Who goes first this week?
Let's see. Who goes first? Curtis Rogers is going to go
all
first.
All right. Reigning champ, right. By the way.
Quickly, who's Curtis? You're leading the series right now?
Yes, I believe all it's 5-4.
Ooh, yikes. Curtis leading the series can take a two-game lead with this one. Yeah, Jake, much like the Seahawks, you really need to win this week.
Yeah, backs against the wall.
Curtis, the Cardinals' defense is fourth in the league in terms of limiting yardage, but they're weaker in one phase of the defense, ranking 19th overall. Is it against the pass or the run?
I am going to say it's against the run.
Correct. The Cardinals' defense is 19th overall against the run, allowing 116 yards per game. 1 point there for Curtis Rogers. Jake, which of these two teams has been penalized more this year? Cardinals or Seahawks?
Been penalized more.
Which team has been penalized more?
I'm going to say the Cardinals.
Correct.
Yes.
The Cardinals have been penalized 65 times. Seattle's 51. Score is tied 1-1.
Can Curtis, I just say something?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Uh-huh.
It feels really weird to be playing a game show in this, like, doomsday shelter.
I mean,
shelter.
We're not, like, making light of the shelter. We're just hanging out, having fun. There's just free cookies here.
There's an incinerator toilet in the back.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like,
and
it's
Jake
just
tried to use it, and I think you broke it. So now you're going to be getting a bill from FEMA. Oh, yeah, I know.
That means there's something in that toilet. If
no,
I know, and I'm gonna leave. I want to leave, and I want to tell all the FEMA reps I didn't do that.
It worked just fine.
Curtis, true or false? The Seahawks have a better turnover differential than the Cardinals.
Boy, I'm actually gonna say true on that one.
That one is false. The Cardinals are +8. They are in third place in the NFL. Seahawks are fine, +3 positive turnover differential. They're tied for 8th, top 10, but Cardinals really getting it done there. Jake, you have a chance to take a 2-1 lead. Which player is leading the Cardinals in receptions this year?
Which player in receptions?
In receptions.
Oh, boy.
Not touchdowns, not yards. Reception.
Reception.
Now, much like our rules last week, I can give you multiple choice, but if I do that, you have five seconds to answer.
I don't want.
Or Curtis can take the point.
You know what? Bump said this in terms of yards,
he did.
And I think it's going to lead to reception. So I'm going to say Christian Kirk.
That is correct. It is Christian Kirk leading the Cardinals in receptions this year. DeAndre Hopkins is third. Rondale Moore is second. DeAndre Hopkins, though, still leading the team with 7 touchdowns. All right, Curtis, Jake has a 2-1 lead. Don't let me down here.
He does.
Your category is Cardinals who became Seahawks. Name one of them.
Cardinals who became Seahawks?
Cardinals who became Seahawks.
I'm going to go a little further back.
Ooh.
That'd be one Edgerrin James.
All right.
Wow.
Curtis, Rogers, other possible answers.
Great answer.
Included Robert Kandice, John Brown, recent signings. Jake, so that is
Mike Iupati.
Curtis tying it up, and Mike Iupati. Curtis tying it up 2-2. Jake, a chance to pull ahead. Your category is Seahawks who became Cardinals. Name one of them.
J.R. Sweezy.
Yes.
Boom.
Oh, man. Jake just didn't even. It's Curtis scored, and then Jake had a two-play touchdown drive that just really took the wind out of Curtis' sails here.
Cassius Marsh also
we can
one
get
of
it
them
back.
Randomly.
Okay. Yeah.
Who else? Is that the only two that you could think of?
You know what? You want to know a random one I didn't think any of you would get? Well, there's Brett Hundley, Seahawks who became Cardinals.
Brett Hundley beat the Seahawks a couple
Brett
of years
Hundley
ago.
Brett Hundley and Quentin Dunbar very recently signed the Cardinals on their practice squad.
Okay.
Curtis, Kyler Murray has the second highest passer rating this season behind only one other quarterback. Is the league leader in passer rating Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, or Matthew Stafford?
The correct answer, I'm going to say, is Dak Prescott.
That is correct. Curtis ties it up 3-3.
He's been
Jake,
incredible.
He tied it up.
He tied it up.
I haven't missed any.
No, I know. You have one.
I know.
More.
Oh, okay.
There's 8 questions. Always 8 questions. Each of you get 4. Jake can win it
with
this.
Sorry, I'm used to going
first. Here's how it works. This is not necessarily a Hail Mary since you're ahead right now, but you have a chance to ice it. If you get this right, you win the game.
This
if you get it wrong.
This is like college overtime.
If you
right
get it
now.
Wrong, Curtis is forced overtime, in which case we will go to a tiebreaker I am very excited about.
I want to avoid this at all costs.
And now I'm kind of hoping we get there. Here's your question, Jake. Kyler Murray became the first player to be drafted in the first round of both the MLB and NFL drafts. What position did he play with the Sooners?
Wait. In baseball or football?
In baseball.
In baseball.
Oh, okay.
Obviously baseball, you guys.
Say,
come on.
Boy,
are you
that's the easiest
right
question
now?
Of all time.
I don't know. The way it was phrased, he played quarterback for the Oklahoma football team.
Thank you so much.
And then he played second base.
That is incorrect.
Oh, he was
at left field for the Sooners.
Left field?
That means we have forced a
tiebreaker. Let's go.
He's got a second base body.
A three all. So each of you missed one. We're going to the tiebreaker. This is how it works. You will go through 12 different ones here. You'll get a point for each correct answer. No point for an incorrect answer. The game isn't over if you get it wrong. It's just going to be tallied up at the end. We're going back and forth. It's called Arizona Cardinal or Cardinal Cardinal. You're going to guess whether the name of a player I am listing is an Arizona Cardinal, current or former, or whether it is an actual Cardinal of the Catholic Church. Are you ready? It starts from easy to difficult. All right. Curtis started the game. Jake, you'll go first in overtime here.
Okay, so I'm going first and then he gets
And then Curtis gets a chance.
Okay.
And we're going back and forth. Whoever gets the most right at the end of this is the winner. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 12.
Okay.
Okay. It starts easy, gets more difficult. Polycarp Pango.
Wait, what? Carly Parp.
Polycarp Pango. You got to be quick.
It is a
Cardinal Cardinal or Arizona Cardinal?
It's a Cardinal Cardinal.
Correct. Curtis, Christian Kirk.
Arizona Cardinal.
Correct. Jake, Giuseppe Bertello.
Cardinal Cardinal.
Correct. Curtis, Emmett Smith.
It's Arizona Cardinal.
Correct. Jake, Earl Lambeau.
Earl Lambeau?
Earl Lambeau, Jake.
Arizona Cardinal.
Yes, God. Curtis, Max Garcia.
I'm going to say Cardinal Cardinal.
Incorrect. Oh! Arizona Cardinal.
Yes!
Jake, Mario Zanari.
Oh, that is a Cardinal Cardinal.
That is a Cardinal Cardinal. Curtis, Ollie Matheson.
Arizona Cardinal.
Yes, Jake, Michael Zerny.
Man, come on.
You gotta be quick. You gotta be quick, Michael Zerny.
Arizona Cardinal.
Incorrect.
Oh,
Curtis, a chance to tie it. Robert Alford.
It's an Arizona Cardinal.
Correct.
Dang it.
Oh, it's tied. Jake, James Harvey.
James Harvey. Arizona Cardinal.
Incorrect.
No!
Curtis, a chance to win it. Andre Bocelli.
Oh, the former Husky. Arizona Cardinal.
That is correct. No, Curtis has won it.
Yeah!
The Cardinal Cardinal. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Curtis takes a 2-1 lead on the season. We have to go to break. Get your questions in right now for What I Need to Know. 206-421-3776. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Two amazing texts already from the Mac and Jack text line, 206-421-3776. The first, that was the funniest tiebreak. Thank you, 206. I thought so, too. I had a great time. It was a back and forth. Jake looked like he was going to win in regulation, and then he misses. He misses the kick after the point after whatever, and then you go into overtime. Curtis misses one. Jake misses one. Curtis gets another one. My heart was racing the entire time, and I knew the answers. Second text was great. In case of an emergency, Jake and Stacy are our answers here. Cool, 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 cool. Yes, Texter, you're absolutely right. Jake and I broadcasting from the Cairo Radio Shelter, and this is my reminder for the 20th time in the show to remind you about emergency preparedness. Please make sure you have a battery-operated radio in your emergency preparedness kit. It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Let's get to these questions. What I Need to Know. Is it just me, or does DJ Dallas, quote, pop when he gets the ball on special teams? Why doesn't he get more chances to touch the ball?
I would say that he's done a fine job, but I don't know if I necessarily would say that he's popped into my eye. I mean, pop, it would be somebody that is so incredibly electric when they have the ball in their hands that you think that they can break it at any point. I think DJ Dallas does a good job on kick returns, but at no point do I actually think that there is a chance that he is going to take one all the way to the house. You know who was that guy that just isn't going to get those opportunities anymore?
Who?
Is DJ Reed.
Oh,
because he's
yeah.
now an established starter. I mean, he was watching him on punt returns and kick returns.
I always thought he was going to break one off.
So dynamically explosive, so dynamic and explosive that I thought that there was a good chance that he would take one of the house. And you know, I think that what the Seahawks have done with the return game is they've gone more with being reliable ball security more so than trying to find that big game breaker.
What I need to know, Win 2K, if the over under for the next time you wear shorts outside is June 15th, are you taking the over or under? I'm taking the under.
Oh, under.
I think it's before June 15th that people are wearing shorts outside.
Oh, June 15th? June 15th. I mean, I'm gonna take the
I think you're going to get a random day in April that's like 85 degrees.
Yeah, well, that's typically what happens. I mean, you have April that teases you a little bit with spring, and then May comes around, and it's just rainy, and you're like, oh, man.
You know, it rains every single year on my birthday, May 31st. You always think you're safe. You think you're close enough to June, but you're not. It's a lie.
Well, June this last year.
Like, that's a deep problem for you.
Yeah,
June in 2021, we had those record high temperatures here. It was like 115 or whatever.
I think for sure the under.
That was
bananas. I am positive about the under for that one. Good question, though.
Yeah, not a problem for me on my birthday.
What
19th. Always sunny. Okay, always sunny.
Jake,
out.
It's not about you. It's about
wow, that's rich coming from Stacey.
What I need to know, was Gabe Jackson a mistake? All he's done is hinder Damian Lewis's development. We should have gotten a legit left guard instead. I don't know that Gabe Jackson was a mistake. I think that you needed a left guard no matter what. But I see what he's saying. I'm assuming this texter, they're saying that maybe Damian Lewis would have been better
where
he was, and then getting an actual left guard swapping.
That wasn't Gabe Jackson's fault. Gabe Jackson said that he would play either side, that he would have played left guard or right guard. So that is purely on the coaching staff for evaluating that, front office for evaluating that and saying, hey, we would rather have him stay at right guard. So if you have any, gripes about that, then I would say that is a coaching staff decision. More so than anything else. And then the other thing is, I don't blame it on Gabe Jackson. What I blame it is not going a step further as a group this offseason and addressing the center position to go along with that addition of Gabe Jackson. That, to me, has been an issue. And I think the offensive line, the way they've gone about addressing the offensive line in the offseasons has been an issue for the past, 6 years.
What I need to know... First of all, Curtis, have you ever had swimmer's ear?
I have not.
I have not either. Jake, have you?
Say that again.
Swimmer's ear? Is that when you get water in your ear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get water in your ear. And...
This person said, what I need to know, this listener wants to know, which is worse, putting your hands under center or swimmer's ear?
Whew.
I want to tell you guys right now, if you go to Seahawks training camp and stand within 10 feet of Jake Heaps, you will hear him complaining. You will hear him and Brock being very particular about the level of sweat that they will tolerate from a center. It is the weirdest conversation.
I'm going to say swimmer's ear is worse because that's actual pain. That is pain. What you're dealing with putting your hands under a center is just a little bit of uneasiness. But when you're in it and you're playing quarterback and you're doing it every single day, you just kind of get used to it. I doubt that swimmer's ear is something.
Stacey, what kind of swimmer are you?
Comfortable.
That has never had swimmer's ear.
One that never got swimmer's ear. Yeah. I must have been lucky there. 4 years, never got it. From the 509 UPS guy here, some of us wear shorts year-round. Well, shout out to you. I agree. You know what? You have us beat there. So this person's definitely taking me under because he's probably literally in shorts right now. Shout out to UPS. From the 253... What I need to know, what prompted the FEMA info today? Sorry if I missed it. You're all good, 253. Jake and I are at the FEMA shelter. Cairo Radio in our the frequency that we have is the FEMA station in Washington. So in case of an emergency or a disaster or things that none of us want to happen, but we have to prepare for, we have representatives from Cairo. Jake and I are two of them who will be here broadcasting. And the idea is that if powers go out, if cell towers are down, if there's no internet, if there's no way to relay information, there's at least radio towers where you can get that information. You just go to a radio, which doesn't require power. You just turn on your car. You have a battery powered radio and we give you guys information from the president or emergency stuff.
Right. And the reason why we're doing it today is because they built a new structure out here. That is a structure that should be that is built to be a standalone resilient broadcast capability tower site, which provides protective shelter and backup power. And so it has it all. I mean, the capabilities of this thing is truly
awesome.
Incredible, and it's really sobering when you think about you know, the government and everything preparing for situations like this and making sure that in the face of a natural disaster, a severe natural disaster, or, you know, military strike of some kind, you know, that there is a way to get information out to the people. And it's pretty cool to be a part of something like this with Cairo, and to, you know, be involved in somebody that's so entrenched in the community here with Cairo, you know, not just from a sporting aspect of it, but from a community aspect of it. And pretty crazy. We were the test broadcast to make sure that this shelter works.
I think we kind of did that moment of someone talks to you and you look behind me like me. but we are honored to be out here. And you know what? The important thing is that FEMA has thought all of this through, right? That no matter what, they are preparing for the worst to strike, so that you guys listening, people in the state and survivors in the case of an emergency, will have a resource. That's the most important thing. So,
and hopefully we never have to be here or use this again.
Hopefully we never have to. But in case of anything, it's just a good thing to have in the back of your mind. Always get to a radio in those moments. All right. Well, that will do it for us today. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been an awesome week. Hopefully the Seahawks can get it done this weekend.
Come on,
we'll see what happens.
Let's go.
Reminder, though, we will have your calls Monday to sound off win or lose. Very excited for that. For Jake Heaps, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. This has been Jake and Stacey on 710 ESPN Seattle.